Rosa Parks called her parents home from the police station. She was panicked, and her mother, who had no idea what to do, started going through a mental Rolodex of Parks' friends, trying to think of someone who might be able to help. She called the wife of E.D. Nixon, the former head of the Montgomery NAACP, who in turn called her husband and told him that Parks needed to be bailed out of jail. He immediately agreed to help and called a prominent white lawyer named Clifford Durr, who knew Parks because she had hemmed dresses for his three daughters. Nixon and Durr went to the jailhouse, posted bail for Parks, and took her home. They'd been looking for the perfect case to challenge Montgomery's bus segregation laws, and sensing an opportunity, they asked Parks if she would be willing to let them fight her arrest in court. Parks' husband was opposed to the idea. "The white folks will kill you, Rosa," he told her. But Parks had spent years working with Nixon at the NAACP. She had been in Durr's house and had helped his daughters prepare for cotillions. Her friends were now asking her for a favor. "If you think it will mean something to Montgomery and do some good," she told them, "I'll be happy to go along with it." That night, just a few hours after the arrest, news of Parks' jailing began to filter through the black community. Joanne Robinson, the president of a powerful political group of school teachers and a friend of Parks from numerous organizations, heard about it. So did many of the school teachers in Robinson's group, and many of the parents of their students. Close to midnight, Robinson called an impromptu meeting and suggested that everyone boycott the city's buses on Monday, 4 days hence, when Parks was to appear in court. Afterward, Robinson snuck into her office's mimeograph room and made copies of a flyer. "Another Negro woman has been arrested and thrown into jail because she refused to get up out of her seat on the bus for a white person to sit down," it read. "This woman's case will come up on Monday. We are therefore asking every Negro to stay off the buses Monday in protest of the arrest and trial." Early the next morning, Robinson gave stacks of the flyers to school teachers and asked them to distribute it to parents and coworkers. Within 24 hours of Parks' arrest, word of her jailing and the boycott had spread to some of the city's most influential communities: the local NAACP, a large political group, a number of black school teachers, and the parents of their students. Many of the people who received a flyer knew Rosa Parks personally. They had sat next to her in church or at a volunteer meeting and considered her a friend. There's a natural instinct embedded in friendship, a sympathy that makes us willing to fight for someone we like when they are treated unjustly. Studies show that people have no problems ignoring strangers' injuries, but when a friend is insulted, our sense of outrage is enough to overcome the inertia that usually makes protests hard to organize. When Parks' friends learned about her arrest and the boycott, the social habits of friendship, the natural inclination to help someone we respect, kicked in. The first mass movement of the modern civil rights era could have been sparked by any number of earlier arrests, but it began with Rosa Parks because she had a large, diverse, and connected set of friends who, when she was arrested, reacted as friends naturally respond, by following the social habits of friendship and agreeing to show their support. Still, many expected the protest would be nothing more than a one-day event. Small protests pop up every day around the world, and almost all of them quickly fizzle out. No one has enough friends to change the world. Which is why the second aspect of the social habits of movements is so important. The Montgomery bus boycott became a society-wide action because a sense of obligation that held the black community together was activated soon after Parks' friends started spreading the word. People who hardly knew Rosa Parks decided to participate because of a social peer pressure, an influence known as the power of weak ties, that made it difficult to avoid joining in.